Modern technology is pretty wonderful. In many ways, it makes our life so much easier. Instead of the old pump lever jack for your car and changing the tire or getting under there for something, now they have hydraulic. And it's so easy. You just put that handle up and down and it raises the car. You don't even have to use a lot of arm or shoulder muscle. We have electricity in our homes. You don't have to strain your eyes. You just flip on the switch. In my house, we left the lights on all the time. My dad was always yelling, if you're not in the room, you know, when you're leaving, turn the light out. So there was this idea that we weren't supposed to waste electricity. Now that I pay the bills, I think I understand that. Well, Gwen writes the check. Technology and resources and electricity, they make our life so nice. But do you ever have moments when you had the right resource and you didn't use it? You needed a hammer, but you were using the handle of a screwdriver. You know, you needed scissors or a knife to cut something open, but you're there straining, you know, trying to tear it and rip it up. There are so many ways that it just seems like we forget what's around us and the resources available. In the history of the Israelites, they were like that. They forgot. So for 400 years, God did not give them a prophet. If you're not going to listen to the prophet, I'm not going to give you a prophet. Did your parents ever kind of say something like that to you? If you're not going to use this the right way, I'm not going to let you have it. Okay? So 400 years from the time of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, to the time of Christ, there was no prophet. And then Christ was born. You had John the Baptist crying out, prepare the way. You had the angels announcing to shepherds, unto you this day in the city of David. And the shepherds, you know, they said, let's go see. King Herod had wise men come and they wanted to know, where is he who is born? And Herod wasn't really interested for faith reasons, because we know that shortly after the wise men don't return to him, he has all the male children under 2 years of age killed in the city of Bethlehem. And so the next thing we hear about is Jesus in the temple at the age of 12. And then we have the miracle of the water into wine at the age of around 30. And now we have today's text. Last Sunday, which we didn't have services, but last Sunday the gospel reading had a phrase about Jesus was in the synagogue. And then it says, as was his custom. You see, Jesus is the Word in the flesh. We call him the Word incarnate, is his title. And even with Christ present, people didn't always want to rely on God. So Jesus, to show the power of God, to show the power of his very spoken word, the very word that created in Genesis, let there be, and there was, and it was good, is the very word that speaks and casts out demons and rebukes a fever. By his very command, it happens. Just like that. He told one guy, it's not in today's gospel, rise and walk, and the guy gets up and walks. Wouldn't you love to go to your doctor having knee surgery and he says, rise and walk, and you get up and walk? That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? But if he did, would you believe him? Doctor, are you nuts? I just had surgery. I just had this. My knee hurts. But by the very power of His Word, look at your bulletin and the gospel reading. In Luke chapter 4, it highlights that Jesus taught. You see that in verse 31? And He was teaching them on the Sabbath. And their response? They were astonished. And it's even identified why. For His Word possessed authority. And the question is, what kind of authority? And so then it tells you just there's no limits to this authority. It talks about the man that had an unclean spirit, a demon, in fact. And Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him," and the demon obeys. That's the kind of authority. That's the word that is spoken by the word in the flesh. Then it tells us that, you know, they were amazed and they said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean and they come out." And the word, basically, they started gossiping about him. The news went around. Jesus leaves and he goes to Simon Peter's house, and there's Simon's mother-in-law has a high fever. And he rebukes the fever. In other words, a rebuke is a command. He rebukes the fever. And it leaves instantly. The fever is not a demon. Don't get confused. He has power over demons. But the fever is an illness. And even illness surrenders to the command of the word. And it shows that it has no power over her, this illness, okay? Because she immediately gets up and serves. And that word had gone out. In verse 40, we see that those who had heard about it, they brought everybody who was sick and their family and their friends, and he laid hands on them, and they were healed by the very touch of the word in the flesh. And there were more demons. And they too were not allowed to speak, and they were cast out. The power of the word. We have this word today. It's called the Bible, the Scriptures. Have we forgotten its power? Have we forgotten its truth? Have we stopped being amazed by it? What would be some symptoms if that were true? If we had forgotten its power, forgotten its truth, and are no longer amazed? Well, I think if we were no longer amazed, we would take it for granted, right? Does that sound logical? You know, something that's impressive has your attention. And if the word doesn't have our attention, that means we're no longer amazed. It used to be the Bible was the number one book sold in the United States. Did you know that? And it was that way for a long time. And it has now become the least read book. Bible knowledge has declined. People don't know the books of the Bible. Now, part of that, I do want to give credit to electronics, okay? And electronics has made Bible reading very easy. Would you agree? You can have it on your phone, your iPad, your laptop, your desktop computer. I mean, you can, it's amazing how accessible through electronics and digital media we can have the Scriptures. So what has happened is, now if we want to find a book in the Bible, say I said, okay, find Hosea chapter 1. Okay? You would just look through your menu, Hosea 1, and then whichever verse. So if I hand you a Bible, an actual book, You know, with paper and pages. You remember those things. Your grandfathers used them. You know? And if I said, find Hosea, you'd be flipping pages, looking at someone else, see if they got it. You know? We have taken for granted basic Bible availability, basic the Word accessible to us, revealed to us. I think another symptom would be, instead of using the Word to address struggles and problems, to bring hope, to restore joy, to find strength and wisdom, to forgive and all of that, I think we would try other methods. Psychology books, self-help books. Self-help books category is almost the number one category of sales now. Self-help. So, what part of that makes sense? Sinner helping themselves become righteous, become godly. I mean, you know, just think about it. Are you perfect? So, you're helping yourself to become perfect, but you're not perfect. Isn't there a mix up there? Are you very powerful? Are you very wise? Are you all-knowing? Do you already have the answers? So you who are not all-wise, all-knowing, and don't have the answers, are trying to tell yourself what the answers are. That's called self-help. Makes sense, doesn't it? In our world that's crazy. What would be another symptom? You can make a list of your own, can't you? And it all indicates how, by our sinful nature, we are almost, in so many ways, no different than the Israelites between Micah, Malachi, Hosea, after those days and the time Christ was born. And yet God in His mercy and His grace has, it's not an issue of not having a prophet. He has made His very Word available. He has brought it into our very presence. In fact, He's made it so accessible, it's almost too easy. Because when things are so easy, you ever notice we take it for granted? I had knee surgery December 29th. There were things that I used to do with my knee that were very easy. It's not easy anymore. There's things that I did that, you know, in getting up and moving, crossing my legs. And after I do it, I go, oops, I shouldn't have done that. There are things we take for granted, not only in the way our body functions, but also in what God has made available. We have stopped being astonished. We don't study His Word. We don't go to devotions. And sometimes we're here in church, but our worship isn't present. We're here because of law or guilt, or we have to, or I'm avoiding a visit from the pastors. So let me share with you the wonderful news of what Jesus is doing today. It is through the very printed Word that God speaks. And He brings peace to the troubled and hope to those in despair. He brings comfort and wisdom and direction to the confused and the lost, and He lifts us up. He doesn't change everybody around us all at once like a magic wand, but He changes us inside, that we cope and we respond and we interact with this sinful world around us, and we deal with our sinful selves differently, all by the power of the Word. You ever been astonished that you said the right thing? You ever been amazed? Where did those words of wisdom come from? It's all from God. Jesus is still here. He's in the sacrament. His word to you is you are forgiven. He gives you himself. He's in the water of baptism. He gives you his righteousness and new life by his very resurrection. And he's in the pages of scriptures wanting to teach and touch you and change you. If that Bible is not Jesus, what are we doing with it? Why do we even own one? Think about it. But if Jesus is the Word in the flesh, and that means the Bible is the Word of Jesus, it means it's Him. Why would we go anywhere else? Or why would we ignore it? Spiritual renewal does not come by technology. It does not come by self-help. It does not come by gimmicks or fads or fashions. It does not come by plastic surgery or anything else external. It comes by the very Word of God. The Word of God that has the power over illness, the power over demons, the power over us. And it is still the greatest power that's ever been shown to mankind. For the person who has little, they can be content. For the person who has a lot, they can share. For the person that's been offended, they can forgive. For the person that's the offender, they can repent and apologize and ask for forgiveness. For the person that's confused, feels a little stupid, they can be made wiser. This is the Word of God. And as God's people today, we're no different than the group in Luke. We can still be astonished. It's not the technology that makes it powerful, it's the Word that brings the power into our lives, and it changes everything. It changes your heart. It changes your mind. It changes the way we live. It changes what we live for. It changes why we live. Sometimes I think that if Jesus showed up over at MTSU, the football stadium, the seating capacity, do you know it? Anybody know the seating capacity of the stadium? I imagine if Jesus had a poster around town that he was going to be here. And there was a pool, swimming pool, out on that football field, and it was full of water, and he didn't walk on water. And there were people in the crowd that were sick, and they left sick. And there was not, that pool of water was not changed into wine. And the weather got a little cold and Jesus didn't make it sunshine. I wonder how many people would leave if all Jesus did was share about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I wonder how many people would leave disappointed. And they would go, this word, it's nothing. I didn't see anything spectacular. I didn't hear anything. And I think that's the key to the reaction of the world today of why Christianity is viewed as nothing. And the clue is us. You see, Jesus came for one purpose. He didn't come for the show. He didn't come to be the show. He came to establish the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he came to proclaim that kingdom. Because if he was the show and he wanted to make a show, then he would have stayed and done more miracles again and again. But instead, he went to where people are, where they were lost and confused and in despair. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God. You and I are to be proclaimers of that kingdom. But if we're not astonished, if we're no longer amazed by the word, no wonder we might opt to be silent. Do you see the connection? How often we miss the opportunity to say thanks be to God. Thank you, God, for His word, His truth. And so much of what's happening today is going specifically against the word. And it's considered modern, intelligent, new, freeing. And it's not. People are in more bondage and imprisonment by turning away from the word than they have ever been. You are the people with the key to unlock the doors by being amazed with the word in your own life and showing the difference that it makes. You have the key to proclaim the kingdom of God. I want you to think about what that means. For someone in depression, you have the word of hope. For someone with anger, you have the word of peace. For someone with hate, you have the word of love. For someone with judgment, you have the word of mercy. You see the list? You have those keys, all in Scripture. The keys are meant for you to be free from the things that possess us, that hold us hostage, that we cannot free ourselves from. The key is meant for our family, to teach our children. And the key is meant for all those around us. We do not have the power to free them of our own. But we do know the word, and it is the power of life and salvation. Do you remember what Paul was given by God to write in Romans chapter 1? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. You see, it was easy in that day, at that moment, to be amazed at the word, right? But I think it's just as easy now. One of our members told me that they had a colonoscopy and they didn't find anything. Isn't that neat? Because last exam they did. It's all gone. Think about it. Amazed. Another one, the cancer is still present, but they're strengthened. You ever seen somebody with hope when it's illogical? Yeah. It is amazing. The power of the word is ever present for God's people and in God's people. We can still be amazed today. And the word is still available today. Sometimes we think, oh, it would have been so nice, so much easier to believe if I had lived when Jesus was on earth. Have you ever thought that? I know you wouldn't have cell phone, you wouldn't have flush toilets, you wouldn't have, life would be different, okay, you understand? But sometimes we crave because we think it would be so much better. I think since we have the whole Scriptures, all 66 books, we have it wonderful. God has made it available for you to free you, to give you life now and forever. So even on crutches, I'm amazed. My knee is healing. It's taking time. I'm frustrated. But I still give thanks to God for the Word. How's your life doing? Everything perfect? No. Can you still be amazed? Can you still stand in awe? Can you still give thanks? It's really not bad being a Christian, is it? For your sins are forgiven. And even if we face, and when we face death, we know where we're going. The kingdom of God. Amen.